INS Lawyer, speaking with Aaron. How can I help you?
Hi there, it's Mr. Forsyth. Was Miss Call off you earlier?
Hello, sir. This is Aaron. I was trying to call you in regards to your inquiry to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Is now a good time to talk for yourself?
Yeah.
Ah, perfect, sir. Great. So, yeah, these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes. What I'm going to do for you, Ian, is I'm just going to go through some of the details that I pulled through with your inquiry, but I'll go through the application process with yourself and explain how everything will work for you. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay, perfect. So to start off, I've got your first name, Ian, and surname, Forsyth. Have you got any middle names, Ian?
Yes. Stuart with W.
Say that again, sorry.
Stuart with a W. Stewart.
Perfect. Not a problem. Thank you, sir.
And Wilson.
So, is it hyphenated or is it just two names?
No, it's two different, two separate names.
Okay, so it's Ian Stewart Wilson Forsyth.
Yep.
Okay. And I've got your email address here as gersforsyth@hotmail.com.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. And what's your date of birth, please, Ian?
The 30th of the 7th, 1980.
Okay, perfect. And what is your current home address, please?
64 Strathallet, spelled Strathallie. Avenue.
Okay, perfect. And the postcode for that one is DD111LP.
Yes.
Perfect, sir. Thank you. Okay, that one there. Scroll down, put that one there. Okay, perfect. And alongside phone calls to yourself, sir, are we okay to send you text messages and emails?
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. Thank you. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
Sorry, say that again, please.
Is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I've been profound deaf since I left the army.
Yeah.
What is it? I've also got ADHD and Asperger's.
Yeah, okay.
As well.
Okay, so that's absolutely fine. Thank you for disclosing that information about myself.
That's fine.
Okay, and is there anything terminal that you've been diagnosed of, sir?
No.
No, okay, that's fine. And would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
Yes, my partner.
Yep, okay, I just got the details of your partner. Okay, what's your partner's name, please?
Louise, L-O-U-I-S-E.
Yep.
McRae. It's spelled the same way as Colin McRae. M small c r a e.
Okay, so M small c r a e.
Yep.
Okay, and does Louise have a middle name too?
Yeah, sorry, Mary.
That's okay. Perfect. And what's Louise's date of birth, please, sir?
Well, you got me now. it's very rare I get asked this. The 10th of the 2nd, 82.
Was that the 10th of the 6th?
No, the 2nd, February.
The 2nd, my bad. Okay, and what's a telephone number for Louise, please?
Oh, I have to go on my phone to get that.
Yep, that's no worries, sir, take your time.
Oh 079.
Yep.
361.
Yep.
770.
Yep.
52.
Perfect, sir. Thank you. And does Louise live in the same address as yourself, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Excuse me.
That's okay. Scotland. Is that one right? Okay, Ian, so I do appreciate that discussion experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting, but please take your time during this call. If you need a break, further explanation, support, or would prefer for me to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
No problem.
Perfect, sir. So the purpose of today's call is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to yourself and the options that you are applicable to. I'll also explain how INS Law works as a law firm for yourself. Discuss the funding and fees around ourselves, and then I'll gather initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you. Okay, so it is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us. The options that are applicable to yourself are option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who participates in the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they're paid £2,000 by the Scottish Government plus VAT for assisting you with the application, regardless of whether you win or lose that application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us being option three, you will be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. Before I do further proceed, Ian, can I clarify that you don't have any other representation for the Scottish Redress Scheme?
No.
No, okay, perfect. Okay, Ian, so being ourselves option three, our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges and basic charges based on the time and effort spent on your case, and also a success fee as well. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment, so you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%.
Okay.
Okay, it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you, but the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail during this call. If instructed, we can assist with whether you're eligible to apply to the Redress Scheme. What we'll do is we'll gather and review the evidence supported in order to prepare and submit the application to the Scottish Redress Scheme. We always have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme for when your application number may be received. And further down the line in the process, we'll always advise you on any offer made from the Scottish Redress Scheme themselves. If that offer is awarded and accepted, there is a statutory waiver that you will sign. And what the statutory waiver is when the offer is awarded and accepted, the statutory waiver just basically means that you can't go and take out a civil claim against any of the organisations that are listed within the scheme that's already been dealt with.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yep, okay, perfect. All right, Ian, alongside that, you do have a right to cancel. So if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. You can cancel at any time within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also still authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. So if that is the case, Ian, would you like us to start work immediately?
Yes.
Yep, okay, perfect. What we'll also need from yourself, Ian, is we'll need a proof of identity and proof of address. So the ID being a driver's licence, passport or birth certificate, alongside a citizenship card, anything like that. With the proof of address, utility bill, council tax, bank statements, anything like that, that's data within the last 3 months.
Okay.
Okay, I'll send you an email with all them details in so you can see it for face value on what is required.
Okay.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll go through your care settings with you and grab the details of the experiences that you may have endured during your time in care. Okay, so can you remember the first care setting that you was placed in at all?
Yep, it was Kinnaird Street Children's Home.
Okay, bear with me. Where about was Kinnaird Street, sir?
Arbroath.
Was it? Okay. Just trying to find the details of this Kinnaird Street now. Is it 39 to 41 Kinnaird Street?
Yes,
that sounds about right. Okay. Okay, bear with me. Yeah, so it was closed in June 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. So that one goes there. Let's have a look. Okay. Fine. And what year was you placed in that case? I think.
Would have been 92.
1992. And how long was you there for?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Okay, and after Kinnaird Street, was you placed anywhere else?
Yes, I was a residential school.
Yep, okay, what was the name of that school?
Balnacraig, and that's in Perth.
Okay, and what year was you placed there?
That would have been 94.
94, and how long was you there for?
Then, I want to say it was about a month.
Okay. Okay, that is not a problem, sir.
Or it could have been 93, actually. It was 93, 94, I know that.
Yeah, okay. So what I'll do for it, shall I do 1993 to 1994 for you?
Yeah. Okay. Because I left that one and went to another one.
Okay, perfect. Where did you go after Balnacraig?
I was at Hillside Residential School, and that's in Aberdour.
Okay. Is that under five councillors?
Sorry, a second. Ken, go get that door, please. Lola, stop. Sorry.
That's okay. Pets can be unpredictable, I understand.
Yeah. I've got a big dog and she barks any time somebody comes to the door or past my window.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, what were you saying, sorry?
That's okay, yeah, so that's under five council, lad, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got that one here.
Okay.
Okay, and how long was you at Hillside for, sir?
2 years.
2 years, so I put roughly 1994 to 1996.
Yes.
These dates that I'm entering as well, Ian, they don't have to be precise as well. It's just more of like a ballpark to go off. Just so obviously when we get your case set and records, it's just obviously, yeah, so we've got some sort of ballpark to play with.
I mean, I know when I left there, because that's when I left school.
Yeah.
So that was the 31st of May, 96.
Yeah.
You know, I was there till then, because then I joined the army right after that.
Okay. Okay, Ian, so talk to me about your time.
I've also got in between that, but I'm not sure of the dates. I was put into foster care for about a month. But then I walked away from that because I didn't like it. I kept running away from it.
Okay, and so during your time in foster care, did you suffer any kind of unfortunate abuse or anything there?
No, it was just the people were lovely, but there was a girl who was taking insulin, and she was taking it, you know, around me, and I just didn't like that, you know. Being a child, you know, I just thought everything was against me. And seeing that girl putting pens in her leg and stuff, like that, I was like, I didn't want to be anywhere near this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I used to just run away from it, you know, until I got stopped being put there.
Yeah. Okay, let me just, I'll just make a note of that.
Sorry, there's a lot of information, eh?
No, yeah, don't be sorry. It's what we're here for, to gather for you. Where about was your foster care placement? Can you remember?
It was in Brechin.
Yeah, okay, I've got that here. And that was between Hillside and Ballinacraig, was it?
Yes.
Okay, so I just put around 1993. Just from what you told me there, I'm just going to add that information to this little brief statement I'm going to put under the foster care. So just bear with me whilst I just type that up. When I... My family were but my foster parents and environment. Hey, but the environment wasn't me to be around. Okay, so what I've put for that, Ian, is when I was placed here, I was still a young boy. I wasn't here for long, but my foster parents were nice themselves, but the environment wasn't nice for me to be around. A girl who was also fostered by the parents would be stabbing insulin pens into her leg, and for me, I didn't want to be around that. It was hostile for me to look at. I kept running away from this home as this was something I'd done my best to escape.
Yes.
Yep, okay. Perfect. Just bear with me. Perfect. I've got one there. Okay, Ian. So talk me through about your time in Kinnaird Street. children's home. What was that like for you there?
I was there with my sisters. It was okay, but I felt like I couldn't breathe. You know what I mean? I wasn't allowed to do what I wanted to do or that. You know, like I was pretty close to like my auntie. She was like my mum.
Yeah.
So when I wanted to go visit, I wasn't allowed. You know, I just couldn't take. Basically, the rules in the place, you know, it was run by, I don't want to be nasty, but a couple of OAPs, you know,
yeah.
They were kind of set in their way, you know. There was a couple of members of staff that I really got on well with, but I didn't get on well with anybody else.
Yeah.
It was there, you know, it was between them and my social worker, you know, I hated the place, eh?
Yeah, of course. I was denied visits from my auntie that I was okay, so you felt trapped and like you couldn't breathe and be free in what you wanted to do, to feel settled. You were denied visits from your auntie that you was close with.
Yep.
And this really affected you, I'm guessing, mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you know, this was something that would have got you through, you know, the placement with, you know, possible ease. So anything else that I may have missed when you was just explaining yourself then, sorry?
No. I was just right. I grew up with my cousins, you know. I'd have 1 weekend after. I'm not sure how long, but it was a good bit. When being in there, I would get to come home for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like to my auntie's house, and then 1 weekend I'd be at the children's home, you know. But I'd be staying there all week, Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And as I say, eventually they allowed me to start going staying at my auntie's at weekend.
Yeah.
You know, that happened until I went away to the residential schools.
Yeah.
You know, and then I basically was no longer in that children's home.
Yeah. Okay. What were the staff like there before you?
So as I say, some of them were real nice, and some of them I thought was like real, like, controlling, bossy.
Yeah.
You know, it was like they thought they're my... In my eyes, I thought they were my parents.
Yeah.
And I had a problem with discipline with them. You know, and not only that, it was all women. There was no males. And I was the only boy that was in that children's home as well. It was all girls.
Okay.
So I kind of felt like alone, you know, even though I had my sisters, but my sisters were always together doing their thing with the children's home. Like going on holiday, I was put to a place just the other side of Dundee, to this Christian place, which
yeah.
I only, like, once I knew that happened, because I'm a Protestant, you know, and I was like, I can't believe I've been sent to this when I don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they were singing Christian songs and everything. So, I freaked out, started crying and that. I wanted away from there, you know. And then I found out, like, my sisters were away abroad. You know, away in France
that, yeah.
And stuff. You know, I felt like my sisters were treated better than me when it comes to, like, holidays or you know, they got taught independent living, I got taught nothing, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to how old I was, you know, because my sisters are like 18 months older than me.
Yeah.
But they've always been together through their life, you know, whereas I've always been just with me when we were kids.
Yeah. Okay.
So I kind of rebelled against that.
So when you said you got obviously took to that Protestant church, you were singing the Christian songs. Obviously that's not something that was, you know, in your beliefs. Did you say that you ended up crying and was it running out?
Yeah, I ended up basically freaking out. You know, crying and that, you know, to the point I just didn't do anything they asked me to do. You know, so they phoned the children's home to come and get me. After, I think it was like 2 days.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So so what I've put here is that, yeah, I was placed in Kinnaird Street with my sisters. For me, I felt trapped, like I couldn't breathe, didn't feel free in doing what I wanted to do in order to feel settled. I was denied visits from my auntie that I was close with, and this affected me mentally, and this was something that would have potentially got me through this placement with ease. There were some nice staff members here, but there was also some really bossy and controlling staff members.
Yeah. Also, the ones I did get on with, they would carry on with me, but sometimes I didn't think they didn't realise when they were playing with me that they were hurting me.
Yeah. Also, they physically hurt you.
Yeah. You know. Okay. But what I know, one of the staff, she had boys of her own, so. Obviously, she must play with her boys in that kind of way as well, you
yeah.
know. And to me, sometimes I felt like crying, you know what I mean? You
yeah.
know, because it was like rough play.
Yeah, okay.
You know? And I was, for my age, I was pretty small for my age at
yeah.
that point, you know.
So yeah, you just said that you and the staff member would rough play. Obviously, yeah, I know you just said she may have had sons and whatever, but do you feel like when she hurt you, it was kind of intentional?
No, I don't think it was, but I don't think she was realizing that the way she was like, I don't know if you know, but you know what a horsey bite is?
No.
That when people grab you just above the knee and squeeze your thigh.
Yeah, sorry, I do know that, yeah.
Yeah. But where I'm from, they call that a horsey bite. And,
okay.
You know, I was bloody sore, you know what I mean, at times.
Yeah.
You know.
And would you feel sore, like, days after, would you? Or, would you...
No, maybe just probably the rest of that day. No. I mean...
Okay.
For me, it was like, rough.
Yeah.
You know, when they played with me, it was like, I think it was, oh, he's a boy, we could play a little bit rougher. You know, what I mean? But some, in my eyes, it was too rough. Especially for a child that I live in.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that.
Which would obviously get me pretty upset because I come from a father who was abusive.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the reason why I went into care. And then obviously the member starts playing with me like that, and she clearly was now realizing that my dad used to beat on me. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Then when she played roughly with me, it was bringing back memories.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay. So yeah, just going over this statement with yourself. Obviously, the first part was again, you didn't feel free. You were denied the visits from your auntie. Having a visit would have, potentially got you through the placement. But then I go on to then say there were some nice staff members here, but there were also some really bossy and controlling staff members that I clashed with. This was a female children's home and I was the only boy. I felt like the staff members singled me out and took advantage of me being the only boy there. And then, as I've just additionally put in here, there was one staff member who was one of the nice ones, but would sometimes rough play with me. She would do a horsey bite on my leg, which is grabbing either side of just above my knee in a kind of a tickle spot. But this would leave me pretty sore for the rest of the day. This would trigger me badly, as my dad used to physically abuse me, so having this rough play done to me would upset me and bring back memories. And then, I remember one time there was a trip. The girls got took to France and I got took to a Protestant church in Dundee and was forced to sing Christian songs. And this wasn't something that was within my beliefs. I ended up getting very upset and crying, where I then walked out and refused to obey with anything they asked me to do. They ended up ringing the children's home to come and get me as a result of this.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I'll save that one for you. Okay, and moving on to Balna Craig School.
Yep.
Talk me through about your time in Balna Craig.
Back then, I was a smoker. You know,
yeah.
So this was a non-smoking school, which was boys and girls in school uniform. But I grew up not wearing school uniform, you know, even when I was in Canary Street. I went and had a look at the other residential school, but my social worker took me to that one. He had lied to me and says we're going to that, but we went to Balna Craig. Within a few days, I'd met a guy that was there, another boy from the school.
Yeah.
And his sister was in the children's home that I was in here at Kinnaird Street.
Yeah.
And we got talking and he's like, oh, basically, my sister's there, blah, 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 all the stuff, you know. So at night, he asked me, he says, do you have cigarettes? And I was like, yeah. So that I'd sneaked into the school with me the day I come.
Yeah.
So at night, we smoked... We were smoking them out the window and shaking the curtains, you know, to try and get rid of the smell.
Yeah.
And I think you call it a night watchman. He obviously had come into the room and we had jumped back into bed and obviously pretended to be sleeping. He had a torch, you know, like an old police torch.
Yeah.
And he shined it straight in my face. You know, I was like, I know you're awake, I know you're awake, get up, you know, get out of the bed, I know you're awake. You know, but I ignored them, pretended they were sleeping. So the next morning, I went and got put in front of the headmaster. And he told me, the other boy, he told them that it was me who had the cigarettes. You know, he called them cancer sticks. You know,
oh, wow,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah, I do. I says, I have a 10 deck. I says, oh, man. I says, I'm somebody that's come from school, from a, living with my dad, smoking. And you're all of a sudden going to tell me I'm not allowed to smoke. So he then proceeded. He started off on level 3. There was like 5 levels in this school.
Yeah.
I don't know what most of them were, but level 3 was like the middle level, you know. They started you off on that. And then because I was smoking, he decided then to put me on level 5, which was a thing called Wings.
Yeah.
And no matter where I went, if I went to the toilet, went obviously to class or stuff like that, I had to have a member of staff with me at all times.
Wow, okay, yeah, like a chaperone.
Sorry?
Like a chaperone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't go to the toilet without a member of staff standing outside, and they'd chap the door and make sure I'm there. They'd make sure the window was locked or I couldn't jump out the bathroom window, you know, stuff like that. And then he forced me to do fitness in the morning. So at 5 o'clock, or it was 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, there's a big hill out the back of the school, and that leads you up to an old ruins of a castle up through the woods. And I would have to run up there with him and 2 other boys every morning.
Yeah.
Then come back and start doing weightlifting. You know, about 3 weeks. Before he would then have to go and get a shower, go get breakfast, and then start school. So I basically, I went on the rampage. You know, like I lost the plot. Like it was like no. So I deliberately got myself expelled from there.
Yeah.
Because I originally wanted to go to the one at Hillside in Aberdour. And that's what my social worker had said. I was going to the first place. Now, Arbroath to Perth's like 40-minute drive. And we left to go to the one, because I refused point blank from when I was at Career Street to go in his car, to go to this one. So he says, no, you're going to Hillside. So I went in the car, and he took me to Ballinacraig. So I was there for, I think, about a month. I'd say it was a month before I got expelled.
Okay.
But I just did not like the atmosphere or nothing there. I went to the West Highland Way, which is like a trail walk from like Perth to Fort William.
Yeah.
And I had to have a member of staff, even before we were doing that, because he thought, okay, I'll send you on that for the week. Hopefully that might change you or whatever. You know, I mean, that was not what he said. That's what I'm thinking now. You know, and I wasn't allowed to go walk beside any girls. I wasn't allowed, the members of staff, as I say, if I spoke to a girl or cuddled a girl or something like that, because me and one girl got pretty close.
Yeah.
Not like boyfriend, girlfriend, kind of, we were just really friendly.
And yeah.
I think it's because she went through a similar deal to me as a child. So now and again, we give each other a cuddle, and I'd be like, separate yourselves, you're not allowed to cuddle, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Do not touch each other in this. The staff that there were they were really, really strict. You know?
I'm sorry, was that a Ballinacraig or was that Hillside?
No, that's Ballinacraig, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so what I've written for, written for Balna Craig here, Ian, is, being placed here, I obtained a habit of smoking. Unfortunately, this was a non-smoking school. At night, me and another boy would cheekily smoke out the window, and we was caught by a night watchman. We pretended to be asleep, and this night watchman came into my room and shined this bright torch in my face, shouting at me to wake up, but I pretended to be asleep, so he left. The next morning, I was brought to the head teacher, to which he graded me on a level 3 out of 5. He then changed his mind and put me on a level 5, which is I can't move around the school without a staff member, which I then again felt trapped, as I'd come from a setting of being able to smoke and then not being allowed to. As a form of punishment, the head teacher no longer let me smoke and instead made me do fitness every morning, running up to the castle and doing weights in the gym. I didn't like this at all, and as a result of this, I got myself purposely expelled so I could get away from this setting. We wasn't even allowed to integrate with the girls in this school. I got close with a girl whose story and upbringing was similar to mine, so I felt like I could go to someone and let out my emotions and what I was feeling. And when leaving her this one time, I put my arm around her for a hug, and the teacher was watching me and straight away jumped in, saying, "No, you can't do that. This was just too controlling for me."
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, for me, it was like a prison camp.
Yeah. Yeah, like a boarding school kind of type. You can't look up. You can't say no. I completely understand. Okay. Okay, perfect. Moving on to our last care sentence of Hillside School. Talk to me about your time in Hillside.
I got taken there. Yeah, you got to smoke. Yeah, didn't wear school uniform. At start with, it was okay. And I had discipline problems, you know, from obviously the previous places, my family and stuff like so. So discipline wasn't a big thing for me, you know. This is where you would be restrained. So if you kicked off in the class, I stayed there Monday to Friday, you know, I did my school in there, stayed there overnight. But we also had day children that come in from local, you know, from around the place, you know. So they would go home every day and come back the next day.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, sorry.
That's okay.
So I ended up, I couldn't understand what was going on. So because of discipline, I would kick off, you know, because my ADHD and that, I wasn't diagnosed, I was 36, you know. So as a kid, people couldn't understand why I would kick off. And, I felt it really difficult to express myself or to learn, you know, certain subjects. So watching the other kids, when they kicked off, they would walk out of class. So I took that approach as well. You know, I just followed along what other kids did, you know, to the point I never realised that if I kicked off in class, all the kids would be sent out, but they would send one child to go and get the members of staff. So two or three of them would come up into the classroom and basically restrain you. Put your arm up your back, throw you on the ground, sit on your back, hold your head to the floor, lie on your legs.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a 24-stone man do that to me.
Wow.
You know, I had marks on my knees where he'd crushed my legs into the floor. You know, it wasn't nice, you know, being pinned down and not being able to move.
Yeah.
And that's something that happened to me as a child. So me being restricted on my movement,
it just makes you react more, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you're pinned by adults and you're a child, you cannot move. There's nothing worse than that. It's like being put in a straitjacket.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's the only way I could describe that. You know, they wouldn't hit you. They wouldn't like physically punch, kick or nothing like that. But they would throw you to the ground as soon as they could get a hold of you.
Yeah.
You know, so I used to pick up tables and chairs to try and protect myself away from them, but they overpowered me every time.
Yeah.
So I used to then run out the school when that would happen, climb out the window, you know, run around the school because it was like 4 acres in the school. And they would have the local policeman come into the school, and he would threaten the battery in the room or beat you up.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know, whereas I always told them, you hit me, and that's going to be the last thing you ever do me. You know, because I witnessed them, like, hit one of the children. You know, and I was like, my parents don't even hit me, so there's no way you're going to hit me. You know?
Yeah.
One of my friends ended up getting his arm broken while we was at the school, and eventually they changed the law so that this could never happen to a child, that the arm's up the back, because they would like nearly force your like your elbow to your head.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't realise how much pain or that would cause a child, cause somebody, you know. So then that's when they decided to lay you flat on the ground, face down, and they would obviously sit on top of you, and then one would lie across your legs, whether it was a man or a woman. You know, 9 times out of 10, there would be 2 men and a woman, and three adults would pin you to the ground. And you'd be there for as long as it take. You know, it could be half an hour, before they would allow you to get up.
Wow. And that feels like forever as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. In your head, you feel so restricted. You know, and all you could do is scream with temper and cry, you know, with it. You know, because you're being overpowered, you know. And you wouldn't even be offered a drink afterwards or nothing. You would just be told, like, come on, you know, we'll take you to the room, sit you down, let you calm down and stuff like that, and like in your bedroom. And then eventually you might get put back in the class later, like maybe half an hour after you've calmed down or whatever.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I had that happen to me quite a lot. And I think it's just because they didn't understand mental health.
Yeah.
You know.
They just had no understanding, did they?
Yeah. I mean, that's in the 90s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was diagnosed 2016, you know, by ADHD and Asperger's. So all through being a child, you know, they said I was born with it, you know. So that was how I had problems understanding discipline and stuff like so. So going to these residential schools where they physically threw you at the ground and stuff like that, they didn't understand. You know what I mean? A child's got that.
Yeah.
Their way of dealing with it was to restrict your movement, which is the worst thing to do to a child that's got that.
Yeah, no, of course. Did you witness the boy get his arm broken by when being restrained? Yeah.
Yep. I even remember his name still to this day and that.
Oh, wow, okay.
So then he got moved from our children's home down in Fife up to about 10, 15 minutes on the side where I stayed now at Arbroath, you know, to a place called Rossi.
Oh, Rossi Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not Rossi Farm.
That's where they locked doors behind you and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I kept getting threatened to go there. I mean, they took me there to show me that this is where I was going to go, my social worker, if I didn't, my behaviour didn't improve. And being an adult now, looking back, having ADHD and that, and I was like, you're going to force me in a situation where you get restrained, locked doors and that, because I've got mental health problem. You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is ridiculous as an adult looking back to when I was a child getting this said to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. What was it like in terms of a hillside, like in terms of food or clothing, anything like that? Was you ever rejected or teased in any way for this?
No. There would be, you get a grant, I think it would be maybe every 3-4, maybe 6 months, you would get a grant to go buy new clothes, trainers, excuse me, and that. But the food was just like a normal school dining hall, you know.
Yeah.
When I first arrived, actually, I got taken to that dining room, and I was the only person there, and got told that you need to have some dinner. And I didn't know at that point that was me staying there.
Yeah.
That wasn't explained to me. I thought I was going for another visit, but yeah, turned out no, I was there. And then, as I went on, my behaviour got worse, and they decided to, because they used to have the children's panels in the school.
Okay. Yeah.
So they put me on a 48-week placement, so I wasn't allowed home for 48 weeks.
Wow, that's a long time, that, isn't it?
Yeah, so where I used to come home to my auntie's house and her children, that then stopped.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember how long. I want to say it was at least 2-3 months before they did another review. And because they said if your behaviour improves, you'll get to go home. So you would be put on a train first thing in the morning, on a Friday morning, and I stay like an hour and a half away on the train from that school. With another boy who was from Arbroath as well, and we would just be sent on our way. And then the exact same on a Monday, we'd have to get the train on a Monday morning first thing to be back before 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Or obviously, yeah, classes absconding and the police would be it for you.
Yeah, I get it. It's kind of like what's it called? It's like the home visits from prisons and stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it's like that was an all boys school.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant to say, Al McGraig was mixed boys and girls, but this was all boys, and it was to the point there was all different ages, kids from all over the place, so there was a lot of fighting going on all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and basically the staff. Didn't realise half the time it was going on. And to me, looking back now as an adult, I think it was like a jail.
Yeah, no, I get
you. You know, for children.
Yeah, staff are outnumbered and stuff as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, from Kinnaird Street through, it was just like physical abuse, I would say, all the way through. All
yeah.
In school.
Yeah.
You know, started off mild, then mentally abused, and then physically and mentally abused, but I went to the whole side.
Yeah. Well, this is what I've put for Hillside so far, and I'll just see if you need me to add anything or take anything out, anything like that.
Yep.
And then once I've read this out to yourself, I can save this, and then I can send these application forms out to yourself via email, and you can just have a look through for yourself if you'd like to. Look over on what I've put for yourself. So I've basically put, when being placed here, I was a little older and wiser to the care system, but I carried discipline problems with me. I was here day and night, whereas in this placement, there were day kids who would come and be able to go back to their homes, whereas I couldn't, and this frustrated me. I had undiagnosed ADHD, and I wasn't diagnosed until the age of 34. My attention... 36, my bud.
Yeah.
Perfect. My attention in class wouldn't be 100%, and I know this, and whenever being restrained by the staff members here, they would put me on my belly unlawfully, arms up my back, legs up my back, and crossed, and that would hurt me a lot. I would get elbows to the head too. I remember one staff member being so big, around 24 stone, manhandling me in ways I could never imagine. Being restrained whilst having undiagnosed ADHD was like being put in a straitjacket. This was horrible, not being able to move, and the staff members going back to the 90s didn't understand mental health problems as such, and this caused a great deal of distress for me. I also witnessed another boy when he was being restrained get his arm broken by a staff member when they were restraining him. That's how rough these staff members were.
Yeah.
Does that sound okay? Is there anything else that you'd like me to add or change anything like that in Hillside?
No.
That's all right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No, apart from being put on a 48-week placement, you know, and not being allowed home to see my family, which I knew that would have calmed me down, you know, but because of my behaviour, I had people, like, you know, decide what was right for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that, whereas I feel now, these people didn't have my best interests at heart. You know, they thought I was just a boisterous, out of control child. You know, they didn't realize the mental health issues at that point. So
shall I add in that after 12 weeks, you there was a reconsideration of that decision, was it?
Yeah, which is horrible to do to a child, you know, because you're watching everybody go home on the Friday of different times of the day.
Yeah.
And you've got to stand there and watch him leave. Excuse me. And then I was taken from my own room, which are the single room. Well, I was put in a five-person room to start with. Then I got my own room. But at the weekends, when I got put on that placement, once everybody was left, I was then put in a big house into some other child's room, you know, for the weekend. And until the Monday, then I go back to my own room.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is just, it's just unsettling for you, isn't it? All
the
swapping and changing.
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it at times, but it was unsettling other times.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Okay, what I've added additionally on the bottom of that, Ian, is I was put here on a 48-week placement. That is a long time being isolated away from normal life outside of care. This was horrible to watch children leaving this setting every Friday to go home, and I wasn't allowed to. Fortunately, that decision was looked at after 12 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, perfect. I have saved that for you. I'm just going to quickly have a scan over and just see if I need to... Yeah, no, okay, that does look good. Okay, so what I'm going to do for you, Ian, is based on the abuse that you have suffered, there is two types of payments that you can go for with the scheme. One payment is a fixed payment of £10,000, and that's regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. All that happens is the scheme just verify that you was in care and award you £10,000. But there's an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000. That's decided by a closed independent panel. And what they do is they look into the level of abuse that you've suffered. From the support and evidence that we provide, your statements, and then also again verify that you was in care itself. I'd like to put you forward for the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, as I do feel you are more than applicable than just the £10,000.
Okay.
So I'll do that for yourself.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, I've got a bit of a cough just now, you know. So
no, that's okay.
You know, sorry.
Of course, yeah. No, don't be sorry. It's okay. I do just want to clarify, Ian, have you applied for any advance payments from the Scottish Redress Scheme at all?
No. I actually just come across it last night. You know, to be honest, 3 weeks ago I had an historical case against my father.
Yeah.
And I had to talk about my childhood and my time in care and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
So I was on Facebook last night, you know, and I seen this advert of Redress, is that what you call it?
Yeah, Redress, yeah.
Yeah, and it was all about, have you ever been in care? You know what I mean? And I thought, why not? You know what I mean? Let's go see, you know what it's about, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, of course it is. It's, some people don't even know that the scheme is applicable or even out there until the likes of, you know, someone like ourselves is trying to push it onto platforms where people are most on. And, you know, someone like yourself, you know, you're just scrolling through Facebook, for example, and you just see it pop up. And again, that's the whole aim of it. You know, you don't know it's there until you see it and you're like, oh, hang on, that sounds like something that I've been through that. And then when you look into it and you dive deeper,
That's what it was. I'd read all the comments, well, majority of all the comments that people had put up about their experience, you know, of being in care and stuff like that. But I was unsure because some of them were like, oh, no, this is all a scam and stuff like that. And I was like, the only way I could do it is just check myself.
Yeah, of course. And you know, there is always going to be people out there that say, you know, things are the scam, because I understand that even myself, you know, I'm human. I get the calls from people who claim that they're from Sky, and it's like, you're not. You're not, you know what I mean? If we were a scam, I think one of the first questions I'd ask you prior to being on the phone with you for 63 minutes is, what's your bank details?
Sorry, I've not got a bank. Which is true, because I don't have a bank account, Everything goes through my partner.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not what we're here to do. We're here to help, you know, survivors of the care system, you know, go through, a panel decision through the Scottish government and get some compensation for yourself that, you know, you're rightly owed. It's not to do with ourselves. We're just here to help you along the journey and do the work provided.
Yeah. See, the way I looked at it as well, as I said to my partner last night about it, I say, nobody ever hears of what the child went through, when they were in care.
They're 100%.
Even my friends, you know, as an adult, they're like, oh, you were in a children's home, that was awesome. I says, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. You don't ever want to experience that. I mean, I understand there's people had worse ordeals than me, you know, but I just want somebody to hear my story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I'm not looking for people to feel sorry for me, you know, this is what I'd endure from a child, you know.
Yeah.
But
things
should not be like that today in the care system.
No, it shouldn't.
You know what I mean?
I completely understand and agree with you there, Ian. It's wrong. What? Some of the stories I've heard, it's completely wrong, especially taking advantage of kids. It's because, you know, everybody in the care, they're under 18, and just the way, as you described in your time in care, you know, the manhandling of kids who can't even defend themselves and you know, they're just innocent children just falling through a system that is doing a lot of wrongdoing. It's bad.
Yes.
It's really, really out of order.
I understand they need to try and get, excuse me, they need to try and get the child in control, you know what I mean, of the behaviour. I get that. But the way they go about it, looking back, it's total wrong. Total wrong. You know what I mean? When I seen my friend having his arm broken, he was screaming, telling them, mom's broken. They didn't care. They still matched them. Like, they would face your head down towards the ground, arm up the back and walk you. Whether you wanted to walk or not, or they would pick you up. And that's how his arm broke, you know? And They didn't care. They still just took them to that room, you know, because they would take you to a room where nobody else would be, you know, and then lay you flat out on the ground. And it didn't matter how they took you to the ground. They would like rugby tackle you, trip you up, you know, throw you to the ground. Just to get you on that ground, you know, and I think that is the worst ordeal somebody could go through.
Yeah, it's a lot of distress, isn't it?
Yeah, well, these are people in their 40s and 50s throwing children around, like they're like little teddy bears, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and no repercussions for their actions, because it's a residential school and that's allowed.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Whereas in my eyes, now looking back, that should never have been allowed.
Yeah, that's exactly what the scheme of brought it out for. There was a lot of civil claims going in through the scheme, and there was a massive backlog.
Right.
So I think they've sat down, I think potentially maybe two or three years ago, and just basically said, you know, what can we do to get rid of this backlog? Well, okay, we'll bring out this scheme where all these people in line for a civil case, they can go through a separate scheme, and an independent panel listens to the stories, reads the supporting evidence, and from there, they then make that decision and obviously award what's rightly awarded for each individual. So I think they've dealt with now over over 2,500 I think it's around people that they've dealt with within this scheme, and there's still a backlog now. We had a notification the other day from the Scottish Redress Scheme that they're wanting to they're looking to recruit further panel members to reduce the backlog. So people's stories are coming out more and more each day, in a way it's quite humbling to hear that so many people are speaking up about their problems, because that's exactly what needs to happen. The more people that speak up, the more wrongdoing is noticed.
Yeah. See, I think back then people wouldn't speak up, but now it's a different society. It's a 21st century, and people are not scared to speak now. You know what I mean? And
yeah, that's exactly.
This is what. Look, this is what I've had to endure, or this is what I've had to go through, at the start of my life, which I think no child should ever have to go through. I mean, I have four children of my own, and I would never dream of doing that to them.
I always
tell them my stories. So when if they're misbehaving, I'm like, if you were at the residential school that I was at, or that, and you misbehaved in school, you would have been thrown to the ground, and you would have been crying your eyes out. I get them to understand behavior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That this is what they used to be like. Well, I hope they're not like that now. But they were in my day.
Yeah. No. Of course. Yeah. And fingers crossed that they don't. That they're not. We can only hope and pray, can't we?
Yeah. But that's it. As I was just saying, like a child like me who suffered physical and mental abuse from the parent, to go into the care system and then have it happen to them in there as well. You would think they would address it a total different way rather than think, all right, let's rough play with them, or let's throw them around, or whatever, what I mean? They clearly didn't see my file or whatever, of how my dad treated me, what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I've just experienced the same when I went into care. And it didn't matter if I told my social worker. He was a really old man anyway, and we never got on. And I felt like he just didn't believe a thing I said anyway,
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I get that. What I just need to do for yourself, Ian, as well, is I'm just going to grab a couple more details, and then that'll literally be everything I need, and I get these forms sent out to yourself. I just need to know, Ian, was you known by any other name other than Ian Forsyth during your time in care?
No.
No, okay. And have you changed your name legally at any time by depot or marriage, anything like that?
No.
No, okay. And am I able to grab the names of your mother and father, please?
Yes. It's Ian Stuart Wilson Forsyth, the exact same as mine, as my father.
Stuart Wilson Forsyth.
Which I don't know if this is applicable to it, but he's actually in jail just now.
Okay, yeah, no, that's not a problem. He doesn't get contacted as such. It's just with gathering records on your behalf, some of your records with you being the age of 18 during your time in care, under the age of 18 during your time in care. Some records can be listed under your mum and dad's name instead. So some institutions do ask for them parents' names. So I've got your dad as Ian Stuart Wilson Forsyth.
Yeah.
And your mum's name?
Deirdre. Now, I'm not sure how you spell Deirdre. Deirdre. I've never spelled her name before, So
it is a tricky one as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And that would have been Christie. Christie. Because she remarried.
So that was Christie, you said?
Yeah, Christie, yeah.
Okay. And Ian, what's the name of the doctors that you're registered at, please?
Springfield East. That's Medical Centre.
Yep, I've got that one here. Perfect. That one goes there. Okay, and could you potentially remember the address that you lived in prior to first going in care?
Yep. 29 Largo, Largo Street.
Perfect.
That's Arbroath as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Safe. Okay, Ian. So what I'm going to do is obviously, based on the information that you provided me, yes, of course, we're applicable to the scheme. We're going to go for the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000. So the next step for you now is I'm going to send you out a email containing a couple of documents. There's a part one and a part two with two extra pages required. That's just obviously not required for you to fill out. It's just additional information, just with your statements and whatnot on them. That'll be a part of the documents section. You'll also have a client care letter, which is just basically like a hi and welcome from ourselves. This is what we're going to do and how we're going to operate on your behalf. There's the conditional fee agreement, which, as mentioned earlier in the phone call, just explains our percentage that we're going to be taking, which is 16% plus VAT, which, as you could work out, is 19.2%. Again, to reassure you, that is a capped percentage. It doesn't grow any bigger. That's only what we'll take just based on the time and effort spent with your case. And then there'll also be a letter of authority as well, which is basically, you giving us the right to act on your behalf, gather your records, speak to the councils and local authorities, as I said, just act on your behalf. So what I'll do is I'll send them contracts out to yourself and documents. You'll get a link as well as a text. It's probably easier to just click the link on in the text and then go for your emails. All you do is click the link. It'll bring up the documents. You'll have a yellow box at the bottom, which will indicate how many fields are required to sign. Let that be a bit of a guidance getting you through the application. So when you do click the yellow box, it'll bring you to the box that needs signing. You click on the box, you scribble your signature, click apply, and then that'll populate your signature into that box. And then you just click the yellow button again, and it'll just take you to the next box, and you just do the exact same thing. Get that number down to zero. Zero fields required to sign. And next to that one, there'll be a little tick box just to say, I agree that the signature required is legally binding. And then there'll be another button that says submit application. Once that's all done, that'll come back through to myself, Ian, and then if it's all done, hopefully today maybe, I can get your application sent straight off to the Scottish Redress Scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf.
Yeah.
Okay, and then as...
Sorry, I thought you stopped. Sorry, when you go.
No, that's okay. It's only another quick one. Yeah, as mentioned as well, I do need the ID and proof of address from yourself as well. Do you use WhatsApp at all?
I do, yes, it's not something I use a lot, so I'd have to wait for my partner to come home from work, to do anything like that.
Yep, okay, that's fine. Well, what I'll do is...
I'm not too clued up with phones, I normally have my daughter doing stuff for me and stuff like that, I only know how to go on Facebook, really.
Yeah, no, of course, I get that. What I'll do for yourself is I'll send you the WhatsApp as well as the email anyway, just in regards to what we require, and then obviously if you can just get them ID and photo proof of address over to myself, whether that be WhatsApp or on an attachment back on an email, I'll receive either one and I can just upload that to your file then as well.
Yep, hopefully get that done this afternoon.
Perfect, Ian. Not a problem. Well, I'll send them documents out to you within the next 20 minutes or so. And
thank you.
If you've got any questions or need any further assistance, I'm only a phone call away.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Aaron.
Not a problem, Ian. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you enjoyed your afternoon.
You too, thank you.
Cheers, Ian. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.